The Steve Cochran Show is on the road. We're live from the Ruffled Feathers Golf Club in Lamont, Illinois. Proud to be a part of the 8th Annual Jared Payton Foundation Golf Outing. Let's say good morning to Steve Cochran and several people sitting around him wearing headphones on 720 WGN.
Well, that was quite specific, wasn't it? I mean, he's not wrong. We're live at Ruffled Feathers. It's quite quiet here. This is one of my favorite times on a golf course. As the sun comes up, the dew is on the grass. The squirrels are running around. It's all very pleasant, very serene. But in a short period of time, this place will be overrun with friends of Jared Payton raising a bunch of money for the foundation and part to fight the scourge of bullying in schools. We'll talk about that later. The obvious place to start is D-Day, and we'll touch on this in the top six as well. And the president's speech made a few minutes ago and highlighting two of the veterans that were there. I will highlight one that we spoke with yesterday as one of the most, I think I tweeted this out, I don't remember, but people ask me all the time. They say, who's your favorite guest? Who's the most amazing guest you've ever had on? Yesterday, and I don't have his rank in front of me, and I should, that's my fault. But we had on a paratrooper from D-Day who parachuted into the French countryside, ended up in battles and on the run for over a month, eventually made it back to the States and lives to this day, raised a family and had a wonderful life here, but believes, and by the way, my set of beliefs, I believe him as well, that he was chosen to survive. We know that 4,500 or so died on that day, 9,000 died in the extended time of the battle. But he in particular flew into the French countryside and parachuted into a small town where one of his comrades, one of us, ended up caught on a steeple on a church. In a very famous scene that's been in every D-Day movie ever, that memorial lives to this day. He ended up running off with another guy to blow up a bridge. Actually, there's several, and they tried to blow up a bridge. It was taken care of by some other troopers. They encountered Germans in several places. They became prisoners of war. He and another man escaped a coal mine where many died. That was one of the places the Germans put POWs to work. And by the way, there was no concern about adhering to the Geneva Convention rules when it came to treating of prisoners of war. Big surprise, the Germans of World War II. He eventually told a story, and this may be the most amazing part of all. He told a story of he and another man running into a small village, and a German policeman saw him. And they knew there was a barn nearby. So our guy, Mr. Langrear, 19 years old, from the 82nd Airborne Division, he and another man ran into this barn. The German policeman got off a couple of shots, killed the other man, the other American. And Dave, I'm sure this stuck out with you as well, but Mr. Langer told the story of, he said, Steve, you know, and this is all on the podcast, by the way, he said, Steve, you know those 2x4s, you close the barn door from the inside, you know those 2x4s?
Yes.
He said, you know, before we could close the door, he got off a couple shots and he killed my friend, but then when he got inside, I had that 2x4 and, well, I took care of him.
Yeah.
So you can imagine what happened with that.
Right?
Yeah, he put it kind of matter-of-factly.
Yeah, he didn't brag about it.
Yeah.
He didn't say he had it coming. He didn't stomp his feet and dance and say, how cool am I? It, you know, typical of the greatest generation. But, I mean, the whole thing is goosebumps, and I hope you'll give it a listen. I don't feel like I can even call him by his first name, but the young paratrooper, Mr. Langrear, well represents those who survived to this day, and 300 of them again this morning in Normandy as the president and President Macron both did fine speeches, by the way.
Yeah, and Steve, you know that.
Honoring the dead.
That was what everybody had to do. It was duty. It was a call to duty, and they did what had to be done, regardless of what the outcome was going to be.
Yeah, and one of my best friends in life is a great disc jockey up in Minneapolis. His name's Greg Thunder. His mother, Mary, grew up in Chicago. And he sent me a text this morning and reminded me, I knew this story from afar, but reminded me about his mom. His mom, Mary Chatton. Mary grew up and went to school in Chicago. She went to LaGrange High School.
And 75 years ago today, she graduated from LaGrange High School. And Greg said back then, you could drive your car into the shores of Lake Michigan, and all night, as people became aware of the Battle of D-Day, she and her classmates stayed up and listened to live news reports coming in on WGN from overseas. So, Mary, a fantastic woman, by the way, an amazing woman at 93 years old, still travels all over. I thank Greg for telling me about that story as well. And some of you from LaGrange High School, or maybe mature enough, as Orion would say, to remember Mary as well. All right, it's 6:16. We've got a lot to do here. We're going to be live at Jarrett Payton's Foundation Golf Outing all morning long. And let's start with the top six at six. By the way, broadcasting live from the 8th annual Jarrett Payton Foundation here at Ruffled Feathers. It's sponsored by Jewel Osco. Shall we do the top six? Let's do it. Let's do the top six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Your kicks. Get your kicks. With the top six at six, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
The continuing coverage of D-Day, the 75th anniversary, as I've been harping on all week, please tell your kids and your grandkids and those who don't understand the significance of D-Day about this day. To whatever your level of understanding is, or here's a crazy idea, get on your fancy computer or your fancy phone and fire up the Google machine and get yourself some information. And pass it along. It's vitally important. Educate yourself. Next. Thank you, Super Joe. Governor Pritzker signed into law a $40 billion budget package, which represents an increase in spending of $1 billion from the current fiscal year. There's no problem with spending in this state. Of course, we'd like the people in Springfield to spend it on the right stuff. We're watching you. Next.
What an incredible Cinderella story. This unknown comes out of nowhere.
I love that.
I remember a time, Steve Grzanich, where people who were involved in professional sports would avoid taking political stands so as not to interrupt their fan base, knowing full well that their fans were both Democrats, Republicans, and others. I guess those days are over.
Everything is so political now. Everybody's on a side.
Cubs co-owner Todd Ricketts is going to hold President Trump's donor retreat at Wrigley Field this weekend. Do we know what's going to happen?
Well, I think it's going to be a big fundraiser, right? I mean,
but what it says retreat. What, are they going to run the bases? What are they going to do?
Well, I saw an itinerary for it, Steve, and they're going to hear from speakers. They're staying at one of the luxury hotels on the Magnificent Mile. No.
They're not staying at the Trump Hotel.
And they're not staying.
Why are they not staying at the Trump Hotel?
I don't have the answer to that, but it seems
odd, doesn't it?
Well, doesn't he have a penthouse suite or something up there? Come on.
They're at the Four Seasons.
Well, it's a great hotel.
It is. They are going to Wrigley Field for a game and a reception there, and I think that's Sunday. And the Cubs are playing the Cardinals this week.
Is it commemorative wig day, where everybody gets an orange wig with that rubber band strap that would go under your chin?
I thought that was later in the season. Ah. Maybe they moved it up.
That's this weekend. If you folks are attending, enjoy the Four Seasons. Next.
At Augusta, he's on his final hole.
Rahm Emanuel got work. we weren't too worried about him getting work. As he continues, I believe, probably. By the way, Sandberg, say hi. I don't know if people know you're here.
Hello.
Sandberg's back. She came to her senses and decided this management thing was wrong for her. She told everybody to jump in the lake. And you're back on the show, is that right?
That is not true.
Oh.
I also think at the retreat they might do some yoga.
Okay. I'd like to see some of that. No, Sandberg's here helping out because she rightfully thinks that we could not do a remote successfully without her. She's not wrong.
Yes,
and Mary, you should know that everybody in the newsroom just stood up and saluted the monitor this morning.
Thank
to you.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Rahm Emanuel is going to be working for an investment banking firm. He's pretty good at the financial stuff. If you don't like him, I'm sure you're inserting your joke here. But he will come back to work and put a suit on after his circle tour of the lake and his fly fishing and other things he has planned. And be an investment banker, amongst other things. And also a political pundit.
Did you see the pictures he posted of his bike ride?
No.
He's got to work on his selfie game. They weren't that flattering.
Don't you think Rom thinks every picture of him is flattering?
I know, but they were really, he's got to hold his arm up higher. They were kind of big-faced, and he doesn't have a big face.
Anyway, Mr. Mayor, congratulations on the gig. Next.
Oh, he got all of that one.
YouTube says it's going to remove thousands of videos and channels that promote extremism and hate speech. We continue to push for Facebook and Twitter and everybody else to do the same. This whole notion, by the way, that social media has to ascribe to the rights of free speech of everybody is a crock. These are public companies. These are public companies, and because they're public companies, they have bylaws and rules that they can make. There's no reason Twitter or Facebook or whoever shouldn't risk being sued by some right-wing or left-wing hate group to do the right thing. So stop talking about it and start doing it.
Steve, there is another side of the story. This developing late yesterday after all of this started happening, a famous documentarian who documents white supremacy and has all kinds of footage of different events that he's actually used in PBS documentaries. His stuff was removed yesterday because it contains some of these images and some of these scenes of these Holocaust deniers and white supremacists. He was actually educating people about the issue, and his stuff was caught up in all of this and removed.
Yeah, I mean, that's stupid, right? Whatever their algorithm is to pull down the hate speech caught him as well, when in fact he should be the one that's allowed to stay, or anybody that's trying to say this stuff's bad for you. And finally,
it's in the hole!
Of course.
Eater, I assume that's a website, Eater?
Eater
is telling people...
Did you see that? Steve Grzanich knew. Yes,
Eater. Of course he did. He's a designated Eater on the show. Eater is telling people the best way to eat a pot pie is to flip it upside down. Steve, agree?
I agree, absolutely. It comes out of the... If you do it in a little tin pan, flip it upside down out of that thing onto the
plate.
And
it provides for a better crust-to-filling ratio. Steve, agree?
I agree, absolutely, yes.
Steve, it'll maximize your joy. Agree?
Yes, and what you have to do is cut it on one side so that all of the inside, the delicious insides, goo out from one side.
You're getting strong disagreement from Dave Ennett.
Totally disagree. And I'm a big pot pie fan, which I know might surprise people. But
so you don't want to flip your pot pie?
Well, you're going to fill up on all that crust, and the whatever nutrients they are in the filling in the pot pie.
But if you flip it upside down, the crust is on the bottom and the filling's on the top.
No, if you...
So you don't eat the crust, Dave?
No, right?
I'll eat a little bit of the crust, but I don't want the whole crust.
Oh, that's the best part.
Wait, am I wrong about this? If you flip it upside down, wouldn't the crust be the base? Wouldn't it be like a pot pie pizza at that point?
Right.
No, yeah. Wait a minute.
There's crust on the bottom also. There's, but it's the soggier.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You know what I mean? There's that soggier crust that's in the tin.
Good God, Dave. Get on board.
Just so you know, a KFC pot pie has 790 calories.
Oh, right. Yeah. And you know, what's the woman, it's the frozen pot pie.
Swanson or Banquet.
Marie Callender.
Marie Callender. Those things have like 7,000 calories.
Yeah, I think it's Marie Callender. Please get it right.
I almost ate one last night.
They're delicious, but it's 7,000 calories.
Oh, glad I didn't.
I thought you eat popcorn on Wednesday night.
No, Thursdays.
Oh.
Popcorn you schedule Thursday when nights. You eat popcorn?
Yeah, Thursday nights, popcorn and wine night.
Good God.
It's the best. Usually Survivor Night, but it's not on now. So. Got to watch something else.
309 Texter, you guys ever check the sodium count in a pot pie? You'll never eat another one. Mm. Oh, please. You don't know Steve.
That's it!
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
I personally think it's one of the top radio programs in the country.
Now, Steve Cochran is live from the 8th Annual Jared Payton Foundation Golf Outing at Ruffled Feathers in Lamont on 720 WGN.
Super Joe, who is saying it's one of the top radio programs in the country?
Oh, Super Joe. I think everybody is.
Well, that makes something up. Was it somebody important, Super Joe?
I was the one saying it. That was me. I'm very important.
We continue live from Ruffled Feathers. It's the Jared Payton 8th Annual Golf Outing. Our friend Chris Bowden will join us here in a few minutes. Chris, you're not here yet, are you?
No.
Okay. Chris will be here shortly, and we'll talk it over. Dave, what's going to happen on the golf course today? Are there going to be people playing golf?
I believe there will be people playing golf, present company excluded, I think. But
well, we're bitter, and let's be honest, we're bitter for one reason, and that's that the shotgun to start this event is at 8 a.m., and what happens at 8 a.m.? It's halftime for the show. We still got 2 hours to go.
We could play a hole, maybe part of a hole, and then resume the show.
I believe that we should be able, and Adam's here, top flight engineer. We don't hire hacks. And there's a hill out in front, and I believe I ought to be able to just go outside with a driver, a tee, and say six balls, and take my friend Pat Brady. And we'll just pelt incoming golfers because of our own bitterness about not being able to play.
I think that'd be a great idea. And we'll do the play-by-play.
Since it's a hill, I'm going to suggest maybe you guys just roll down it like kids.
And giggle and throw our hands up in the air. Pat Brady's here as well. Chuck Todd is off this morning, and Pat will join us here in a couple minutes, too. We need one more break before we get to the headlines, and those will be next on 720 WGN.
People, can I have your attention, please, people?
Let's return live to Ruffled Feathers Golf Club in Lamont for the 8th Annual Jared Payton Foundation Golf Outing. Here's Cochran on 720 WGN.
And Jared Payton will join us here in a little bit. Chris Bowden is here now. And as I mentioned, Chuck Todd off today. We'll make Pat Brady be Chuck Todd in just a few minutes to update us on how Springfield is doing spending our money. Again, I encourage you to listen to the podcast of the great paratrooper Henry Langer from the show yesterday. You can get all the Steve Cochran podcasts and other stuff, and basically anything I'm involved with, and most of it legal, at WGNradio.com/Cochran. Good morning, Chris Bowden.
Good morning. Welcome to the beautiful Southwest suburbs.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm out here.
You are out here?
Yeah,
okay.
I'm out here. All right. I haven't played this course in a long time. I ruffled feathers.
There's our excuse. That's part of my
beautiful
excuses
track.
Here.
Beautiful
it
track,
is.
Yeah.
It
and, you know, Cog Hill's just down the road, and just up the road is Big Run. So there's a lot of good golf out here.
Yes. Well, not a lot of good golfers when it comes to me. So
how often do you play?
Well, a lot more these past two summers, although I've only been out four or five times this year. But, you know, with the Blackhawks.
Well, four or five times, that's everybody.
Unfortunately, yeah, that's usually what I would go for a whole summer.
Okay.
But with the Blackhawks giving us 5 months off, unfortunately, for the second consecutive offseason.
Last time it'll ever happen.
Yes. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking, too. That's what I'm thinking, too.
So, you've been watching the final, I assume?
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't get much sleep last night just as being part of a morning show, having to commute to a morning show. Just so many things on my mind.
Good God, are you whining?
Worried about getting here on time. Worried about the White Sox not reaching 500. Worried
Dave,
about,
are you listening to this? Do you?
I am. I don't whine this much. And I do it every day.
Worried about the Ricketts costing $45 million out of their account, and worried about the Boston Bruins too. Quite frankly,
now here's the thing, Dave. Technically, I know Bowden might be a different pay line, but you're still the sports director. He works for you. You going to put up with this?
Not technically, no.
Oh, he actually works for you.
Yeah, he does work for me.
Well, then I want you to have a full meeting with Bowden later.
Chris and I go back a long way, and Chris did work with me. I don't like to use
a notch down the dial
for me.
So you guys are both at BBM?
Yes. Yeah.
And Chris,
what happened to BBM? Are they still on air?
As far as I know,
rumor has it.
But Chris is used to getting up at this hour. Morning radio.
I was.
So I don't know where this is all coming from.
You opened that door for me about 5 years.
What's your tie to Jarrett?
Just, you know what? My first time meeting Jarrett was at my first road trip as a reporter, which was Super Bowl 20. And Jarrett,
little kid.
Jarrett was just a baby at that point, yeah. And we were all trying to find Walter afterwards. We know the story behind that.
Yep. For people that don't, Walter was very upset about the
and rightly so.
Lack of an opportunity to score. And
especially from the 1 or 2 yard line.
And he needed a few minutes.
And Mike Ditka later admitted to that.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
We finally found Walter back out on the field after locker rooms were closed and holding Jarrett and walking the distance of the Superdome field from one end to the other in order to escape. And a couple of us reporters, I think Bob Laguerre may have been another one, but we finally got some comments from Walter.
So you guys broke up the father-baby son
moment.
That's
right. Yeah.
He's trying to walk his baby son around going, look around, son. You won't
media.
Remember this, but I will. Yeah,
Jarrett has never forgiven Chris for that.
Right.
Believable.
If he remembers that or not.
Outrageous.
I do. That's how old I am, though.
Well, you know, Jarrett and his foundation do a lot of great work, and bullying is part of the focus today.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good thing. Who else is coming out other than you? Is it just you?
I think it's me, and unfortunately for everyone else, they'll have to. But no, another thing I was concerned about was our group. You know, last year we were out with Jerry Azuma, Laura Jane Hyde, our friend Lissa here. I'm also concerned about the chiropractor bills for Alyssa when she's done carrying us in our entire group for this session, too.
I'm trying to believe she plays as much golf as she does.
Yeah. And she's good, too.
Yeah. And you said Laura Jane Hyde is coming out, a friend from Gilbert's
Club? Was a bit under the weather, so we're seeing if she's going to be joining
us
here.
She's a great woman.
She is. She's a lot of fun out there, though.
All right, and you're going to tee off at 8 o'clock.
We are. We're going to try. And looking forward to the draft, too. Hawks are going to send me there, along with Mary here, in a couple of weeks to Vancouver for the number 3 overall pick.
Nobody's going to know any of these guys, but who are they going to pick?
I got a feel. They said Mark Kelly, the director of scouting, said last week at the Combine that they were down to 6. If I had to make a guess, it's going to be between a defenseman, Bowen Byram. That would be three straight years for a defenseman, or... a couple of the centers, Alex Turcotte, is a local kid from Island Lake who's really shot up the charts.
Who's the kid that you want?
Well, Jack Hughes, but we're not going to get it. But when they were at the Combine a couple weeks ago, he said the Blackhawks TV posted a thing on Instagram where he was saying, you know, I grew up watching Patrick Kane. I've watched every goal he scored. And it's so cute because Patrick's not... He's now in that old category.
Patrick's old.
Above 30.
Right, where kids watched him.
Yeah. Well, this Turcotte kid is pretty intriguing, too. And I was watching some of the
tapes. Isn't he a jockey?
No, that's Ron Turcotte.
Oh. No relation.
And I don't know that there's any relation.
Although his dad did play in the NHL. Not Ron Turcotte, but Alex Turcotte.
Yeah, and he looks like he's a very athletic kid. And he's, as you say, he's a local guy.
Mm-hmm.
So you would think that this would be something for him. It would be a big deal to get drafted number 3 by the Blackhawks.
Yeah, and his stock has seemed to really rise over the past year, even though he had an injury problem. He had mono going to the under-18 tournament, but everyone's just been really impressed by his overall game. There are a couple other centers who are a little bigger. I think Turcotte's about 5'11". There's a couple guys who are 6'4", and also might be in that mix, too.
Chris, did the Blackhawks expect to get a guy at number 3 who is going to come in and... Like some of these top picks the last few years have come in and contributed immediately to their teams?
I think that list is limited to just the top 2 this year, unfortunately. Now, if they go for this defenseman, Bowen Byram, who's still only 18 years old, but a lot of people think is more NHL-ready than Joki Haru was or Adam Boqvist was this past year, that he could have a shot. But in all likelihood, whoever they draft at number 3 isn't going to be a factor until next season.
Are you really pulling for the Bruins?
Yes, I am.
What's the matter with you?
I don't mind a Central Division rival making it to the Stanley Cup Final, but selfishly, you only want the Blackhawks to win those Central Division teams.
No, you want to keep it in the West. Yeah.
And you like
West.
Gloria, too, don't you?
I like who?
Gloria, the song.
I got to be honest.
There's another Gloria that I'm not aware of.
I got to be honest, I didn't see that turn coming.
I'm also kind of pulling for our... former colleague Judd Surratt.
Judd Surratt to get an opportunity.
The Bruins. Yeah, I never liked him.
Opportunity to call game 5 tonight.
He did a great job with the Bruins. Yeah.
Chris, tell Steve the Gloria mention. I don't think Steve knows the team is using Gloria.
The song Gloria by Laura Branigan they're using that as their victory song.
The Blues?
The Blues.
Why are they using Gloria? It makes no sense.
Very convoluted. They were in Philadelphia at a bar ahead of a game against the Flyers watching the Eagles play the Bears, and of course, Cody Parkey had a part in this. And this particular bar, for whatever reason, would play Gloria to celebrate victories.
Just based on that?
So the Blues, the next day in Binnington, the goaltender's first game in the NHL, they went into Philadelphia, beat the Flyers, and they made that as part of their victory song.
That's ridiculous. It is. I'm a full-on Bruins.
Did anybody ever really like that song?
Sure, Laura Branigan made a lot of money.
Yeah, well, that's one reason. But
So congratulations.
For the Kinks version of
congratulations
Gloria.
To the Bruins. Big winners, and I'm supporting them the whole way. I've never gotten off that bandwagon.
Right, better. Don't want another Central Division team to win, selfishly.
Fried chicken skin now available in Asia. That story coming up. You know, talking about Popeyes earlier. And Pat Brady will talk a little politics in a second. And again, most importantly, 75th anniversary of D-Day today. Thank you, one and all.
In Normandy, remember them with pride. Soldiers, airmen, sailors, airborne, and Marines, who in Civvy Street were tailors and men who worked machines. British and Canadian, and men from USA, forces from the Commonwealth. They all were there that day. Tejuno, Sword, and Utah, beaches of renown. Also Gold and Omaha. That's where the ramps went down. The battle raged in Normandy. Many lives were lost. The war must end in victory, and this must be the cost.
It's one of the many fine speeches that, obviously, a poem done this week, a celebration of the 75th anniversary of D-Day continues. Good morning, Pat Brady. Good morning. Oh, turn your microphone on right there, will you? It's a button on that box. One of those two. One of the, a little red light over there. There you go.
Thanks, Dave Bennett.
Any thoughts on D-Day you want to say?
Yeah, you know, you see a lot on TV and obviously read a lot about it. And you heard, I actually thought the president's speech was pretty good. But when the French president went over and helped the veteran,
it's a great moment.
It's one of the greatest moments I've ever seen. I mean, go back to Reagan and Pointe du Hoc and all the speeches that have been given there.
It's a 97-year-old D-Day survivor who, amazing story that Trump talked about. And he tried to rise to acknowledge a standing ovation, and he wasn't able to do it on his own. And Macron rushed over to help him stand up. It's a great moment.
Yeah, it's an important event. I just read a book. Actually, Leader Dirk named this book. It's D-Day from the Eyes of a German, and it didn't go so well.
Well, how about that there earlier this week when the chancellor was there? I mean, obviously, it's a few years beyond, but I remember the first time I went to Pearl Harbor, and I saw Japanese tourists, and my father was a World War II vet, and there's that moment where you go, whoa, God we're at a point.
Yeah, we teamed up with the West for a long time, though, too.
Right, but I'm saying thank God we're at a point where the leadership of Germany can come and, you know, look, without D-Day, it could have gone very badly the other way. There's a lot of talk by historians that Russia then takes over, communism falls across Europe, and who knows what happens after that.
Yeah, without some even almost individual acts of heroism and bravery, it might not have gone the way it did. So, yeah, it's just an amazing. The sad thing, too, is this is probably for a lot of those veterans over there. It might be the last time they make it over there. It might be the last time we see a lot of them. I mean, that the 97, they're all in their 90s now.
Yeah, we're losing 3,000 a day.
There was also NBC had a clip of a 97-year-old paratrooper who reenacted his jump yesterday.
He jumped tandem.
Tandem, but when he did it, and they pointed out he did it solo in the dark while getting shot at by the Nazis. And he was.
By the way, they did not include that in the recreation.
No.
But that tandem jump at 97, it's just incredible.
And if you read and see the footage, it was just so brutal when they got off the ships and how they were just massacred and just to keep going and keep going back like the president talked about today. It's just they call it the greatest generation, but that's real bravery.
As paratrooper Langreyer tells us in the podcast, in case you didn't hear it yesterday, the majority of those troopers and soldiers and on the ground and shipmates, they're 18, 19-year-old kids who've never seen combat before. One of the greatest battles of all time, and you've never even experienced combat.
Yeah, there was a series, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, Band of Brothers, about the 101st Airborne, right. And their entire command structure was wiped out when the gliders crashed. So they had young people taking over these platoons and these...
Incredible
what they got done.
7,000 ships took part in the invasion, 1,213 warships, 4,127 landing craft, 24,000 Allied troops were dropped behind enemy lines shortly after midnight on the day, and 132,000 men landed on the beaches. 12,000 Allied aircraft, 10,000 vehicles were delivered to the five beaches. It's just, the idea that in 1944 you could move that amount of equipment and people is incredible. And thank God there was no internet, because that secret never would have been kept.
Well, also when they got there, there's great stories of the Americans when they got on the beaches and they had to get through the hedgerows. Their tanks wouldn't make it through.
Right.
So they came up with this way to put it, like basically a saw on the front of their tanks and chop through the hedgerow. So it was not just American bravery, but innovation.
Thought about everything.
And they just were not going to fail. And it's just truly one of the amazing. And I think the president was right. It's one of the greatest stories in world history that the Americans and our allies were able to do it.
Broadcasting live from the 8th Annual Jared Payton Foundation Golf Outing at Ruffled Feathers Golf Club in Lumont, sponsored by Jewel Osco. We will continue, and Sheriff Tom Dart's going to join us.
Yes, he is.
So we'll talk to Sheriff Dart, and we'll also talk to Pat Brady about all the changes coming to your life in Illinois based on what happened in Springfield last weekend. That's coming up on 720 WGN.
Now, the Steve Cochran Show is on the road. We're live from the Ruffled Feathers Golf Club in Lamont, Illinois. Proud to be a part of the 8th Annual Jared Payton Foundation Golf Outing. Now your host, Spalding Smales on 720 WGN.
Well, we don't have all day. Today's live broadcast from Ruffled Feathers Golf Club in Lamont. 8th Annual Jared Payton Foundation Golf Outing, sponsored by Jewel Osco. JP will be here in a little bit. Sandberg's with us this morning. She's Big Shot Management now, but she said, no, you're not taking the show out of the studio without me watching it. How's it going so far?
Decent.
First hour was okay?
Yeah.
Let's see if we can screw it up. Pat Brady's here.
Yep, no, this is going to go downhill quickly.
On Thursday mornings, we talk politics, and Sheriff Tom Dart will be here shortly to join us. Springfield, last weekend, while we were not paying attention, a lot of things happened. Which surprised you the most of all the things that were done? I'm not talking about the budget. I'm talking about gambling and weed and the other things.
Just that the governor got everything. There was nothing that he didn't campaign on that he didn't get, from when he first started in January to get the minimum wage increase, to gaming, to recreational marijuana, to a balanced budget, to the progressive income tax on the ballot in the capital bill. I didn't think the capital bill was going to happen at the end of the day, but it all happened. And from the other side, you got to give Jim Durkin credit. A lot of business reforms in the budget, many more reforms than we ever got with 4 years of Governor Rauner done, just because nothing really got done because he was waging a battle with Madigan. I'm not saying that critically, but that's just the way it went down. But the governor got pretty much everything done that he wanted to get done.
How do they follow this act? We got to talk pension next, right?
Yeah, I would think they're going to be, there's pension, there's a crime issue in Chicago, but I think what will happen is we're going to fold into now, the big issue will be on the progressive income tax, which passed, but that only means it gets on the ballot in 2020. It takes 67% of the voters.
And it's a straight up or down vote, but you got to have two-thirds.
Two-thirds. And there's going to be a debate, too, if we change this from a flat tax that the Constitution provides for now to a progressive tax. It'll be like the federal tax code where there's brackets.
So a progressive tax would mean a wealthy guy like you would get have to pay more than someone who works hard like me for a living wage.
Well, that's what the Democrats' argument will be, and that's been the governor's argument. We need to tax the wealthy to cover the past due bills and the budget deficit, although we do have a balanced budget now. But the Republican argument is there's going to be brackets like there's at the federal level, and the Democrats or whoever controls the legislature is going to be able to determine those brackets, and there's nothing truly from stopping them from putting on a middle income tax increase. That's the Republican side of it. So that will be the debate. Probably another component of that debate will be, can the voters actually trust the people in Springfield to take this money from this increased tax revenue and spend it like they're supposed to?
What do you say to people who are concerned about the pot legislation that, forget about the gateway drug part of it, but just managing it, making sure it doesn't become a crime issue as well? What are your thoughts?
I think that they were, Kelly Cassidy and the people in the House that, the Democrats in the House that pushed this through, were very smart in changing the narrative or the story of why they're doing it into a criminal justice reform bill rather than a pot bill. In the reality, what it probably is, it's a revenue grab because the state needs that revenue from the tax revenue from the sale of marijuana in the state. It's a very complex process on how you're going to get your license. It's heavily regulated. It's tilted towards benefiting minority communities and minority participants, because those are the ones that have been so adversely affected by illegal drug sales historically. So we'll see how it plays out, but there are a lot of limitations on how much you can grow and a limitation on the number of dispensaries. And if you look at the marijuana market throughout the country, it's in a state of flux. It's a commodity, so the prices are coming down. So we got to make sure that it still has some value, so we're going to get the tax revenue.
Becoming quite the investment on Wall Street, and a 19-cent gas tax goes into effect July 1st, just in time for Labor Day.
But remember, that funds a capital bill.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is it funds a capital bill, mandatory funding for the capital bill. They can't spend on anything else because you know the drill.
That's my understanding.
We're all worried about Springfield getting more money and then spending it like a toddler.
Yeah, and that's my understanding. And I know that the conservative part of the wing of the Republican Party very upset about this tax increase, and nobody truly likes it. But the reality is, we have a state, even where the studios are, where we saw the bridge on Lakeshore Drive be shut down, that's all over the state. We need an infrastructure bill. We haven't had one, I don't think, since 10 years ago. So it's something that needs to be done, and I think that's the best way to do it. If you're going to do it, you do a user tax.
We'll come back with Jared Payton live from his golf outing in just a moment.
The Steve Cochran Show presents the most valuable person on the planet. The MVPP is sponsored by Mega Pros. They make it fun to get stuff done.
And now it's time to move on to a little something we call
the most valuable person on the planet.
Well, guess what? It's Jared Payton. How about that for an honor? You're the most valuable person on the planet.
Appreciate it, man. How you guys doing?
We're good.
Thank you for being here this morning.
Thanks for having us, and it's a beautiful day to play golf, which you play how often?
Never. I never play. Like, I am horrible.
If I got the suckometer out 0 to 10, would you be hitting an 8, 9?
Probably so.
Do you have fun out there?
I don't actually, this is the eighth year, I have not played in my own outing ever.
Well, so. Because when you host, you run around all day and you schmooze and you got a lot to do.
And when I have time off, it's not going to be spent on the golf course. I'd rather be at home with my family hanging out. So when I get friends, and if you're listening call me to ask me to play on a Saturday afternoon.
Let's just say one thing. Okay, you're out here raising money on a golf course, so let's not slam the game.
No, I'm not slamming the game.
That Pat Brady and Dave Ennett and I love.
Well, like, Ennett is the guy that if I need somebody for a foursome, I'm calling him because I know.
Why
know
you're not calling me?
He's the ringer.
Wait a minute. The one common bond I see between you and Steve, Jared,
speed.
Is it great athletes?
Yes.
Great
athletes. And speed.
Yeah, no question.
I've seen both
what
of us run.
What about agility?
I was going to add that.
And good looks.
Upper body strength.
Question.
Yes. Haircut?
Same.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
You got a little bit more than I do.
Yeah, but it's high and tight. You know what I'm saying? it's a wonderful thing you do with the Jared Payton Foundation. And I know your mom's proud. I know your dad would be proud. And you ought to be very proud. And I know your kids, as they grow up and understand the good work that the foundation does, is going to mean a lot to them. And I'm sure you hope to turn it over to them at some point.
Yeah, that's kind of how this all got started. Just the passion that my father had for giving back in service. Short story, dad took me to Toys R Us, told me I can get anything that I wanted. And I did. He shut down Toys R Us for a half hour 4 days before Christmas. I'm getting all these toys. And as we leave out of Toys R Us, normally my dad would take a left to go home. He took a right and started driving down about 20 minutes down the road to an apartment complex. When he gets there, he knocks on the door, and I hear this father talking to his kids saying, I don't know who's at the door. Probably next door neighbor trying to come get some sugar. And next thing you know, he opens up and he goes, sweetness, and he passed out. And my dad got wind that this father just lost his job, wasn't going to be able to provide Christmas, and all he sent a letter to his office asking him if he could sign a football because they were a Bears family. And all those toys that I thought were going back to my house were actually going to this family. And it was at that moment what I figured out what my passion was. It was giving back in service.
What a good lesson.
It was. It was huge.
And he didn't tell you anything. He didn't tell you were doing it.
Didn't tell me.
Didn't give you a chance to say, hey, wait a minute.
And I was excited for that Nintendo 64. And it ended up coming. I ended up getting it for Christmas. Santa brought it. But it was that moment. I got this tingly feeling in my body.
It's a great story, dude. You never told me that. It's a great story.
I thought our WGN radio family would like that one.
Now, we had a young lady on yesterday talking about speech you made about bullying. And I know you were bullied when you were in school. And the idea, I mean, I look at you now and I think, who's bullying you? But it really doesn't matter. When you're a little kid, it doesn't matter. If people see something that they think they can exploit and they're a middle school kid or even a little kid and all the way into high school, they can be cruel.
Yeah, they can. And it's a different time now. Back then, we didn't have social media. So when I went home after a day of school, I could actually get away from what was going on at school. And then, you know, these kids can't nowadays. So for me to be able to go out over the last 3 years, I think I've spoken to over 40,000 kids. And just to see the impact that I'm making on these young kids in the Chicagoland area, that's what drives me. Every Tuesday during the school year, being out at these schools, meeting these kids, and then seeing them grow, Steve, is what's amazing, because then they go to college, you see them that they're using some of the things that you gave to them in that speech, and they said, man, I held on to this and I've used it through my walk through life. And to me, that's the most gratifying thing that I can hear. Like, there's no.
Well, and it's a great lesson to teach, too, because what do we know? We know that any bully's got a lot of hurt in their own heart and head. There's something not right in their life, and they're striking out and taking out on somebody else. And by you speaking the way you speak about your own life and about others, you can light that lamp to let kids know it's going to be okay.
And the thing is we're going to try to start we're going to expand a little bit and do more things. And my goal is to bring all kids together, kind of have like a student council where it's these Jared Payton leadership boards where these kids are doing stuff together, all walks of life, bringing them together, let them see that they have more in common than they have differences. If we can do that, hopefully we can start building those future leaders in our community. And if we can do that, we're doing what we're supposed to. And I know I'm 38. These young kids, they're the next up. So we got to prepare them to be ready for what's coming next. And they're our leaders. They're going to be the ones taking over. So I want to be able to prepare them, give them the skills to be able to have.
How can people help the foundation?
Go to jaredpayton.org and figure out how you can be a part and watch us grow, help us grow. And I could not do this by myself. My lovely wife, Trisha, is she's the best.
She's the brains of the operation.
She's the brains of the operation.
She's the beauty.
And the beauty, too. I was just about to say that. I'm just the figure.
Covering you like nobody's business over here.
Lissa over here. Lissa, Dress Christman, my girl. Can I say that?
Well, yeah. Okay, you cool. Just said your wife's beautiful. Yeah, you're fine. You got the order, right?
I got great people that help me with my mission and my vision, and I want to thank them. Everybody out there, the Chicagoland area, everybody that's been around, that's watched me growing up, that has been a part of my life, thank you so much. And
and your mom's going to be on later. You got anything you need to? Your mom's coming in. You got anything you want to confess, or you want to tell me? I can get you off the hook on.
No, I pretty much tell her. I tell her everything.
I've known your mom for a long time. She figured all your nonsense out anyway.
No, my dad figured out. Well, my dad knew everything that I was doing, like everything. He knew it before I knew what I was going to do.
Right. You know why? Because he did it.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. That guy, man, I miss him. I wish he was out here.
Of course you do.
How about being the number one player in Chicago Bears history? We're given all the names.
You're talking about the top 100 Bears.
The top 100 Bears.
Look,
there was no doubt about it.
Do you see my arms? I got chills. It is.
Did you really doubt he would be number one?
He had to
I didn't doubt it, but to hear it.
It's nice.
And to see it, yes, it's
very nice.
And I know how hard he worked, and I know what it would mean to him if he was here, because he wanted to be with one organization his whole entire career. He got a chance to do that, and the work that he put in to be the best that he could be, and then by the end of it, to say that you're the best to ever wear that uniform.
Pretty great.
And with all the other names, I think that's the reason why he'd be so proud, because you look at the names, Buckus, Sayers, Urlacher, all the guys.
It's original franchise. It's where the NFL started.
It is the best. And thank you to the Bears, too, because the Bears have been amazing, and they've been wonderful to my family. And shout out to George. He's amazing, and he keeps us and our family intact of what's going on, and to me, that's what it's all about. The Bears we're a part of the family, and he and the organization, they make us feel like we're a part of the family.
Anybody want to recognize as far as all your, I mean, I've way too many athletes and friends coming out today, but is there anyone you want to mention in particular?
Matt Sui. Matt's going to be here today, and I said this yesterday.
Is he blocking for you as you go out to the first team?
He blocks for me every single day. He's been blocking for our family since my dad passed away, and I want to thank him for that. But he and Jim McMahon, I said yesterday on the tweet that I put out with the Jim McMahon, that people ask me all the time, who are the people that play with my dad, his old teammates that have looked out for me? A lot of them do, but the two that keep up with me the most are Matt Sui and Jim McMahon. If you would have told me that Jim McMahon was going to be one of the guys that was going to be Instagramming me and texting me back in 2000.
And be a positive influence in your life.
Unbelievable. Had an interview with him yesterday. Almost had him in tears. I've never seen Jim McMahon cry. By the end of the interview, I almost had him in tears.
And then he was almost in tears again. The Bears have a huge weekend coming up. And when McMahon found out he was doing a 9 a.m. seminar of
with
sorts,
Trubisky.
With Trubisky Saturday morning, knowing he'd be up till 7 a.m. the night before. He's
probably just going to have to roll over.
He almost started
crying again. Yeah, he's just going to have to roll over. But this weekend's going to be amazing. Look forward to seeing all the past and the present Bears and what this is going to mean for this organization, right? For this team that was 12 wins last year, right, Dave?
Could be a very big year. Yeah.
For them to have this celebration and then go into the season, I mean, you're going to get to see some of these old guys. These new guys are going to be like, let's go.
What's wrong with winning the Super Bowl in your 100th year? Why not?
Yeah.
It's set up for it. It's set up for it. This year is going to be special in a lot of ways, and I look forward to it. I can't wait.
How about Gale Sayers coming back this weekend, and he's struggling.
Yeah, how's he feeling
health-wise?
He's struggling health-wise. Yeah. Pompey wrote that article, and it's just he's been one of those guys too. That when you look at this organization, he's a big part of it. So hopefully this weekend for him, it's a joy. But if you live in Chicago and you're a Bears fan, you're lucky, because this weekend is what the history is all about. And for you young kids, if you're listening as well, because I know you listen to Steve, do your homework on this organization. See how many unbelievable players have played and wore the Bears jersey and have that C on their helmet, and go back. And don't just look at the guys now. Go back and study the past, because you can't understand the future unless you go back and look at the past.
Amen to that. Thanks for having us out. Get out there and have some fun. And by the way, stay in the moment for 10 minutes, will you? Enjoy today. You're going to be working your butt off today, and then go have your Bears fun this weekend.
Thank you guys for being here. The moment I figured that out was when I woke up this morning and woke up my son. He said, "Are you excited, Dad?"
I
said, "For what?" He goes, "It's your outing." I said, "No, yeah, it's my outing. I'm excited." He goes, "Well, it's JP. We're both JP, so it's both of our outings."
That's right. Like, and by the way, your son's out making sure everybody's happy and taking care of this tournament while you're in here yapping to me.
That's what happens, man. That's my mini me.
That's exactly right. Hey, God bless you, man. Thanks for all the work.
God bless you. Thank you, guys.
Appreciate you being here. There you go. That's your MVPP as we continue. Live from the 8th Annual Jared Payton Foundation Golf Outing at Ruffled Feathers in Lamont, sponsored by Jewel Osco.
This is today's Pucks in Prague clip of the day.
Verlaine picks up the puck at center ice, cruises in over the Red Wing line, down the slot, Deeks, and she scores! Michael Verlaine is 2-for-2 on playoff penalty shots for the Blackhawks, and he gives the Hawks a 4-2 lead over the Red Wings.
That is today's Pucks in Prague clip of the day.
Oh, man!
And here again this afternoon with Rokan. Be caller number
Hi, this is John.
Win a Blackhawks prize pack, including tickets to the Blackhawks convention, and be qualified to win a trip for two to see the Hawks open their season in Prague, Czech Republic, against the Flyers. Listen to Rokan today to win.
It's your last chance to qualify for Steve Cochran's European vacation. I will take a whole bunch of folks to Prague this October, where we will see the Blackhawks open the season against the Flyers. Congratulations, Kim Shelton of Franklin Park. She won yesterday. Tune in to Ro. By the way, Rokan's birthday today. And nothing would please Ro more than if you would flood his phones this afternoon, 312-981-7200, phone calls and texts, and just repeat this question again and again. How old are you? Just over and over again. But Ro and Anna this afternoon between 3:30 and 4. Not now, but then listen for the clip you just heard. Be caller 19. You'll win a qualifying prize package, 4 tickets to the Hawks convention, a signed replica jersey, a signed hockey stick, a signed puck, and photo. Plus, you're going to be qualified to win that trip, and you and I will go to Europe. Sandberg, you have the same GPS chip missing from you as I have.
That is correct.
So how long do you think it'll take me before I get our entire party lost in Prague?
I think at O'Hare.
I'm not even sure we'll get to O'Hare. Yeah, I don't like our chances.
On another note, there's a nice photo gallery up of the broadcast today at WGMRadio.com that people can check out pictures. Jared Payton, and now we have Tom Dart is here.
Sheriff Tom Dart joins us. And Cook County Sheriff Tom Dart, nice to see you as always. I know it's a big day for you. Because as difficult as your job can be, you're a parental chaperone on some sort of situation today.
Yeah, I'm chaperoning a bunch of fourth grade girls at the Museum of Science and Industry.
Forget about your regular job. That's pressure.
Oh, my God, yeah. You're not kidding. I have to do a really serious head count.
Right?
Yes, yes. There'll be repercussions otherwise.
Pat Brady is here as well, and you and I are both fans of the sheriff.
Absolutely. Tom and I, longtime friends. In fact, we were joking on the way in. I think when we were young state's attorneys, we got thrown off this course 30 years ago.
Yeah, I was trying to see if we were still banned on this one. I snuck in through one of the gates over by the other side there. I jumped the fence. So.
As state's attorneys. How could that have gone wrong?
Many, many years ago, but a lot of laughs.
Oh, yes.
We worked not too far from here back in the day.
Yes. Oh, yes.
One of the things that you face at Cook County Jail is you've called it before the largest mental institution in America. That's not a joke. That's because of all the inmates that you have that have serious mental health problems. Is funding. Is funding to make sure that you can process these people, have programs that are funded. Is any of the changes that happened in Springfield last weekend going to benefit you?
You know, a little bit, you know, Steve, because there's talk, not just talk, they did add more to some of the mental health programs, which is what we need. So that's fantastic. The governor's wife just came out to the jail, spent almost the whole day there. She was amazing, absolutely amazing. She was so thoughtful.
We heard good things.
Yeah, so thoughtful, knowledgeable, and personable, but particularly was focused on the mental health issue and was talking about the need for the changes that we've been talking about. And so I absolutely feel there's going to be some changes. Now, the magnitude of the problem is so great, it's not going to change overnight, but to at least get the hearing and to get people who are seriously funding it now so we can act like a jail and not a hospital, that would be great.
Because the people that are inmates who need serious mental health wellness care need to be in facilities that can service that.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't really, you know, rocket science. This is actually pretty straightforward that if you treat people for an illness, just like if you treat someone for cancer, you treat them for diabetes, there's a chance of recovery. If you don't treat them, instead you give them the absolute worst treatment, which is toss them in a, you know, 8x10 concrete room, what do you think's going to happen?
Right. Yeah. And by the way, speaking of heading it off at the pass, I know you heard Jared Payton on earlier talking about speaking to kids about bullying and stuff. If you don't mind, talk a little bit about the initiative going on with the charter school that your Cook County folks are talking to.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Jared's been so helpful, and they've re-upped to working with us, which, mind you, anybody re-upping working with me is, you know, quite a feat.
I'm sure they looked on the other side.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. But he's already been working with us out in Fort Heights because we took over not just the policing but other, you know, governmental functions out there 12 years ago now. And so he's already done help with us already there. Now we're going to see about doing it on the west side as well, and they've already agreed to help me with it. And what we're doing on the west side is that about 3 years ago we started, you know, we knew about the issues. We knew where the shootings were, and we knew where the biggest issues in the city were. We moved a large amount, about 100 of my police officers and civilians, that's the big point, onto the west side as a permanent presence. We have a substation there. And with it, though, our big point was is we weren't going to try to come up with the latest, greatest gimmick. We were going to really dig into what was going to help here. And I really felt strongly, and Pat could attest to this, that we have to reestablish trust with people in these communities. And the best way to do that is work through the children by telling them, you know, obviously, police are, you know, you see them on TV, hear about them, but here's who they really are. And so I have officers and civilians that go into this one school in particular, Catalyst on the west side, who are amazing people that would do amazing things. We sit and we read stories to the kids. We eat lunch with them. When there's bullying issues, we'll pull kids aside, not as police officers, but as parents, adults, and say, listen, there's better ways to approach this.
So it takes the myth down. The cops are not somebody to be afraid of. They're somebody that is here to help you and protect you.
I was in a classroom reading to children yesterday, and thank God it was a first grade classroom, so there was no real challenging words for me.
Yeah.
But these, when we were done with it, and because my officers were with me who had been in that classroom before, all the children came up and gave them hugs and high fives.
That's tremendous.
It was. And they kept talking about, you know, I want to do this when I get older. And so it wasn't a one-off.
How much does it mean to the cops, too?
Oh, my God. You should have seen the smiles on their faces.
Yeah.
Because they're obviously breaking through this. And when you do that, you have this much wider ability to change the entire discussion and narrative about what's going on. And as I said, and Pat and I have talked about this before, at the end of the day, you can have all the cameras in the world. You need to have witnesses to come forward who will testify. You don't do that if people don't trust you. They don't think you are, you know, part of the solution, that you're their friend, you're there to
help.
Well,
but the thing I like, too, is you're not just breaking down the no snitch policy where nobody wants to talk to cops even if a family member's been hit. You're reestablishing the order of things, and that is the police are protection. The police are on our side. They're not against us. They're not waiting to pick you up. They're waiting to help you if you need them. And that's the whole, that's the difference that's take place.
There was a young man I met yesterday they wanted me to meet in particular. He was an eighth grader. He's graduating, you know, in the next week or so. He had been having an issue of some type. One of my officers took a direct, I don't want to say liking, they connected. And my officer and him started talking. They got to be close. My officer showed him, because he knew that the young man was interested in music and the like, showed him a video of him dancing, my officer dancing. There's none of those of me, thank
but
God.
But he loved that.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't get to see that one, thank God. But he showed him that. They built this bond. This young man just got accepted to the Shy Arts High School.
Ah, that's great.
Yeah.
That's
and
great.
They say he is this. He's like a prodigy, but he was sort of like this diamond in the rough. And it's not just my officer brought it out, but there was issues they were able to address. This kid's amazing.
Right.
And so, I mean, this is how you get at these issues. You know, it's complex.
Well, this is the big fix. Everybody wants the instant fix, and the instant fix, raise your hand if you have it. But the big fix is this, because this is your medium to long-term success. As you have kids grow up in an era where they work with the police not up against the police.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the rest of the stuff's all good and fine, but if you're looking for the real changes, that, and that's where, you know, politics are uniquely unqualified to deal with a lot of these things because people are looking for immediate, instant responses, yeah. And politicians, by and large, that's what they spew. They'll give you this quick thing. These are not quick problems. They came over decades. They're going to take a while to fix, and you know what? I hate to tell you, it's not going to be something where you can take a little photograph and it's all going to be great. I think, was that Pat Brady taking off in a golf cart?
Yeah, I think so. He's bored with you and I. He's leaving. Pat will come back and talk to you, Sheriff Tom Dart, in just a second. Pat! We're still on!
Well, we're waiting.
Steve Cochran is at Ruffled Feathers Golf Club in Lamont, proud to be a part of the 8th Annual Jared Payton Foundation Golf Outing. Live right now on 720 WGN.
Remember, please, no wagering. Pat Brady's here. Sheriff Tom Dart is here. We're live at Jared Payton's Golf Outing, sponsored by Jewel Osco. And at Ruffled Feathers, Pat, say hi to the sheriff.
Hi, Tom. How are you doing?
Good. It's nice to be on a golf course where you don't have security surrounding us.
Yeah, a lot of laughs in the old days, weren't there? Now we're just old.
Do you have a question for the sheriff, or would you like some tea so you two could sit on the porch and reminisce?
I do have a question. Hey, we're doing a panel, though, Tuesday night that the sheriff has agreed to be on. On this issue, we're talking about youth violence and breaking the cycle as part of the Lincoln Forum.
No, no kidding.
He's going to be on the panel with Carl Allegretti from Deloitte and former CPS CEO Arnie Duncan to talk about that. So if you're interested in coming, lincolnforum.org, 5:30 Tuesday night. Should be a great panel.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I mean, it's one of the things where Arnie reached out to me about 3 years ago, because I think two or three, because he had gotten involved with a new program when he'd left, so maybe 2 years ago, the Obama administration, and he does this work with children who are at risk, put it that way. And so one of the things was he came into the jail, and he started working with a program that we had in existence already, but he added more bells and whistles where now I have people to hand off to. So when I'm working with young men who have been involved with the law, we work with them there. But before, I didn't have many people to hand them off to in the community. And then, you know, you can imagine what's going to happen. His organization.
Well, it's a dead end then, right? I mean, if you don't have anybody to give them to, you take them this far, and then they hit the wall.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's difficult enough. I mean, I often tell people, this is really not rocket science. I mean, when you're looking at where these folks come from and where they're going back to, there's not a lot of resources out there. And so it's difficult, okay? You can have all the judgments you want about, you know, good and bad. Well, I wouldn't do that, whatever. Bottom line is, do you want success or you want failure? And I often tell people with the criminal justice system, look at the numbers. There's no company that would be in existence anymore if it failure rate was 70%, which is the criminal justice system. So we need to come up with strategies, not just, you know, churning people out. And he's been great.
We're super late here, but recidivism rates going in the right direction?
Yeah, you know, they've been relatively steady, to be honest with you. What's been going on is there's been less people being incarcerated. And that's one of the things I find when I explain to people what the jail looks like now. They have a difficult time getting their arms around it because with all the violence we have out there, I'm at the lowest the jail's ever been. When I first became sheriff 13 years ago now, I had about 13,000 people in custody. Today I have 5,700.
That's great.
Yeah, yeah. And so jails are for really violent people, and we have evil, we have violent people. We've gotten rid of a lot of the people who should never have been in there.
Will the legalization of marijuana help this problem?
No. You know, there was always this fallacy that it won't help as far as jail population, because there was always this fallacy that the jail's loaded with people on possession of marijuana cases.
That's not true.
Oh, my God. You couldn't find one in there if you wanted to.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, yeah. So that's been that way for a while. Where it will help is, you know, on the street, which is, as I mentioned, because we're on the west side now,
yeah. The
most violent corners that we're dealing with as far as shootings are not the heroin corners. It's been the marijuana corners. And so those are the type of things where I think you're going to see the impact.
Last word, Pat Brady.
Who's your favorite sheriff, TV sheriff? Is it Andy Taylor?
Oh, see, this
absolutely. Absolutely.
This is finally a good question.
Absolutely. I dress like him,
I see
too.
I know you dress like Andy Taylor. Do you have a gun? Or, you have no gun for him, right?
They would never give me a
Who's
gun.
Who's your deputy, Barney?
Oh, my God. Unfortunately, I have a few of those.
Yeah,
and I've got Otis that comes by every once in a while too.
And I forgot, is Thelma Lou your girlfriend or Barney's?
No,
Thelma Lou, she's everybody's gal.
No, it was Miss Crump.
Oh, Helen Crump.
Helen
yes.
Crump.
Yeah, Helen Crump was hot.
Yeah, my kids, it's their favorite show. We watch the reruns. We have them on DVD.
It is, it is the safest show
it is.
On television to watch, and it's actually aged well. You can feel good about it.
Oh, my God, yeah. My kids know all the characters. They can sit there. You never have to pause and get them out of the room or something. And it's still, to this day, one of the funniest shows I've ever watched.
I got to tell you, Goober was a real pain in the ass, though. A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah, yeah.
The stuff he demanded behind the scenes was ridiculous. Sheriff, great to see you.
Thank you so much.
I know how difficult your job is from afar, and we respect it and appreciate all you do.
Thank you so much.
And Pat Brady, you and I will get together again in the coming days to discuss all the things that are happening and continue our effort to try to save the world.
I think that I was totally taken aback by as great a job as you did Jared Payton's comments about golf.
Yeah, yeah, you're
offended. Because that we violated pretty much. Yeah,
and we'll continue to violate it. That's what summer is for. Stand by. Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Steve's there next.
Now, the Steve Cochran Show is on the road. We're live from the Ruffled Feathers Golf Club in Lamont, Illinois. Proud to be a part of the 8th Annual Jared Payton Foundation Golf Outing. Now let's go live to the parking lot, where he's asking around for a ticket to get in. It's Steve Cochran on 720 WGN.
I've just made it back inside. It's fine.
How'd you hit him?
Not bad. I did the ceremonial first drive, and I pulled it slightly, but around 295, just in the first cut of rough on the left. All right, I hit it 45 yards off the ground. Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9. By the way, Dean, we're broadcasting live from Ruffled Feathers,
the
Jared Payton Foundation Golf Outing, sponsored by Jewel Osco.
Did you get it in the clown's mouth?
I did not. No, it's a different outing.
Oh.
Totally different outing. And, Dean, I invite you to be listening at the end of this hour when we replay demolition expert, combat engineer, 82nd Airborne member, 2nd Battalion F Company, who on D-Day, paratrooper Henry Langer landed deep into France, fought for his life and others' lives for a month. An amazing story. It's up at the podcast, WGNradio.com/Cochran. And we invite you to listen to a playback, a chunk of that from yesterday's show, a little before 9. How are you?
That was an amazing interview. So I hope everyone will tune in. I've been so moved by the commemorations this morning.
Agreed.
And seeing many of the veterans who were there that day at Normandy being paid tribute by the President of France and President Trump. And a story that just came over is that among the commemorations today will be a 97-year-old man who was a veteran who landed on the beach that day recreating his parachute jump. 97 years old. He's going to do a parachute drop today.
You know, the tandem jump by a 97-year-old, I don't know that it gets more entertaining than that. I mean, the guy just goes, yeah, let's go again. He probably argued about doing it tandem.
He probably wanted to do it by himself.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. His name is Tom Rice, of San Diego, and he will jump from a C-47 Douglas airplane today.
Well, God bless them all. The people that saved the world in the Battle of D-Day 75 years ago today it started, and it lasted. And 9,000 Allied troops died before it was done. Know your history, folks. Pass it along. We need to remember these people. We're losing more and more of them every day. Hey, Dean, something that's more along the lines of the heroism you and I are involved in every day?
Yes.
KFC Asia is now selling chicken skin by the bucket.
That's not a terrible idea.
I thought you might see it that way.
I know you're not supposed to eat it, but
it's literally the chicken skin without the chicken,
sold
in various sizes, including by the bucket, but only currently available in Asia.
I always find the chicken meat to be a little pesky, to tell you the truth.
It just gets in the way.
It gets in the way. I can't imagine what a bucket of skin must look like, but
changes the jingle, doesn't it? Get a bucket of skin.
I think they're marketing it similar to like a pork rind. It's going to be, you know, fluffy
so
like
they're going
that.
Healthy?
Yeah, they're not just like peeling it off of chicken breasts.
I don't know about that. I'm looking at a picture of it this morning, Mary, and it looks like skin ripped off that's just been fried. That's
whatever it is, it's genius.
There's no question.
And apparently they can't keep it in the stores. It's selling that quickly.
Sure, that's right.
Sure, there's no doubt about it. Yeah.
And next door is Just Pizza Toppings, where they throw the crust away and it's just cheese
and meat.
That's
not bad either.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very low carbs.
We'll come back with Dean and get you the Jussie Smollett latest story, the Rolling Stones tour information. The Beatles apparently on tour again, which is interesting. And then Dean is going to be in New York tomorrow. We'll find out why. All that coming up.
Now, Steve Cochran is live from the 8th Annual Jared Payton Foundation Golf Outing at Ruffled Feathers in Lamont on 720 WGN.
Sponsored by our friends at Jewel Osco, and Dean is sponsored by Ravinia. They're our friends, too.
I love the blues there, Steve. I met Muddy Waters' son yesterday.
Muddy Jr.?
Muddy Jr.
A little muddy?
Well, he's a big man. He was a big man, but yes, a little muddy.
And does he play?
He did. He had a band here at the TV station, and they played yesterday on the show for Blues Fest that's coming up this weekend.
All right, a couple of things. CMT Awards, any shockers?
No, Carrie Underwood. They really just need to rename it the Carrie Underwood Awards.
She won everything?
She won quite a few awards. Won her 20th CMT Award, not 20 last night, but she did pick up Video of the Year last night for her song Cry Pretty. Steve can sing a little of that song, Cry Pretty.
Cry Pretty!
Perfect recreation. Yeah. She won Best Female Video for her song Love Wins.
Yeah, me too.
Best Male Video went to Kane Brown's Lose It.
Who's Kane Brown? I've never heard of him.
Oh, he's great. You know him. He's a mixed race guy from Chattanooga.
Oh, I've heard about him. Yeah. Okay.
It's a famous mixed race guy club in Chattanooga.
I was in a band called Mixed Race Chattanooga.
Dan and Shay.
They're good.
Best Duo Video for Speechless. Uh-huh. And the Zach Brown Band won Best Group Video for Someone I Used to Know.
And that song is
quit
so
asking
That's
why Zach
song.
Brown wears a hat. He
That's
gets
a good
chilly.
Song.
His mom drummed it into his head. Wear a hat, you'll get chilly.
Yep.
So, Dean, the one thing on that broadcast is they kept billing it as it's going to be the most performances ever in an awards show. And how they did that was they did a lot of 30-second performances. We didn't hear full songs.
Sure. Right.
And I liked it. It was like music to music to
it's
music
still,
to music.
It's still the best award show. My friend used to run CMT, and he established that thing and did a great job with it. Jussie Smollett news?
Jussie Smollett, the calls that were made to the police on the night of the alleged attacks were released by police yesterday.
Any surprise there?
Well, we've got a little bit of sound from one of them, so you can hear. This is not Jussie himself. This is his manager making the call for him.
I just need a police to come by. I work with an artist. I don't really want to say his name, but he stays here. He went to Subway. He was walking by, and some guys, I don't know, they jumped him or something like that. And I just want to report it and make sure he's all right.
So the whole thing is about 4 minutes long. It's on websites. You can find it anywhere. But
how do we know you didn't fake that?
Frank Gatson is his name. I'm a prankster that way. Mm-hmm. I'll get on the phone and say that somebody put a noose around your neck.
Because it's hilarious.
It's hilarious. Everything that we've known, I don't think we really learned very much. But, you know, now we're hearing it on the actual call.
Stones news.
The Rolling Stones, who will kick off their No Filter tour here at Soldier Field on June 21st, just 2 weeks away now, they announced who the opening acts are going to be for the boys. This is the tour for many cities that got rescheduled and postponed because of Mick Jagger's heart valve replacement surgery. Like, that would stop any of us from coming and doing a show if we had heart valve replacement surgery.
I'd come in and do the show the next day.
That's right. But on the first night, the opening night, June 21st, the opening band will be St. Paul and the Broken Bones. Very popular, kind of an R&B-ish kind of band. And then on the 25th, their second show, the Southern Rockers, Whiskey Myers will be opening the show.
And Beatles news.
Beatles news. This is sounds so cool to me. The White Album, in my opinion, is one of the greatest albums of all time.
Sure.
Recorded 50 years ago, 1969.
Hard to argue with that. Sure.
Back in the USSR, Revolution, Obladi, Oblada, While My Guitar Gently Weeps, song after song after song, all classics. So this summer, five artists are going to be touring the country performing the songs of the White Album. But listen to who the artists are. Christopher Cross of sailing and Ride Like the Wind and Arthur's theme fame.
Oh, bloody, ah, the arrangement's going
to
be different.
Takes me way to wit.
Sure, that's a great idea.
Former Monkey Mickey Dolenz will be one of the artists on this tour. Rocker.
I like Mickey. I like Mickey a lot.
Yeah, Mickey's a good guy.
I don't know that I need to hear him do Beatles music.
He was actually pretty good friends with the Beatles back in the day. Rocker Todd Rundgren will be part of all of this. He still is performing with Ringo Starr and his All-Star Band. And Jason Scheff, do you know that name? He used to be with, when Peter Cetera left the group Chicago, he took over as the lead vocalist. He's going to be part of this. And also Joey Molland, who was in Badfinger. Who also recorded.
What a weird collection.
It's a weird collection, but I'm kind of curious to see what they're going to do with these Beatles songs. And here in Chicago, it's going to be at the Arcata Theater out in St. Charles on October the 1st. So
it's open, not Arthur's theme. They're doing Ringo's theme.
Open invitation to all of them, but especially Christopher Cross to come on the show.
Yeah, same here. I haven't talked to him in years.
Yeah.
All right, buddy, I'll talk to you from New York tomorrow.
From New York tomorrow, where I'm going to be interviewing Samuel L. Jackson, the new Shaft movie, by the way. He's a bad mother.
He'll curse at you. That's how you know he loves you.
It's happened many times.
That's true. That's Dean Richards. That's more on entertainment, and we're back with the headlines next, live from Ruffled Feathers in the Jared Payton Golf Outing, sponsored by Jewel Osco. More in a moment.
Testing now. 3, 2, 1.
Give me that mic.
All right.
Now, the Steve Cochran Show is on the road. We're live from the Ruffled Feathers Golf Club in Lamont, Illinois. Proud to be a part of the 8th Annual Jared Payton Foundation Golf Outing. Now let's go live to the parking lot, where he's asking around for a ticket to get in. It's Steve Cochran on 720 WGN.
I've been granted the opportunity to not valet park for a few minutes so I could talk to our old friend Mike Adamly. By the way, Mike's cable show, Dave, is going to be on only pay-per-view networks going and paperless networks going forward. We were talking off the air a second ago, Mike Adamly and I, and the old guys, not that you're one of them, Mike, but the old guys have the best stories. The best stories.
Well, I think so, too.
Today's live broadcast from Ruffled Feathers Golf Club in Lamont for the 8th Annual Jared Payton Foundation Golf Outing, sponsored by Jewel Osco. You and Mr. Ennett share the Northwestern bond. How are you feeling about Northwestern football?
What do you think after this last season?
Right.
You know, in 1995, they went to the Rose Bowl.
Yep.
And it dawned on the administration at that time, not the football administration, but the school, that said, you know what? It's not so bad to have a winning football team or a basketball team because they never – I said, and this is the way it works. John and Jane Doe – can I say this? I mean, it's not dirty or anything like
that.
No,
John and Jane Doe.
Yeah, they went to Northwestern, they casual football and sports fans, and they picked up the Sunday New York Times, and the Jane is going is in the kitchen, and John has got, hey, look at this, honey. They're looking at the sports section. Northwestern beat Ohio State today, and subliminally, it sticks in their brain, and the next time they go to write a check, it's a little bit larger
than it
was.
It works. The,
yeah.
And by the way, that's fine.
And they got it. So, and it, you know, Gary Barnett helped carry on the tradition, and, you know, Pat is you know.
No, and between Randy.
He's going to be in all Hall of Fame. You know, when they talked about you know, Pat's going to go with the Green Bay Packers. I said, timeout. Yeah. I said, this is the perfect. This is what college sports is supposed to be.
He's got a great life here.
Yeah, the kids. You know, they play great football, great basketball on the weekends.
And the best facility in all.
Oh my
sports.
Gosh! How could you? If you went on a recruiting vacation and went to Evanston, how do you say no?
Crazy.
And by the way,
and the other thing is that, you know this, Dave, is that a couple of years ago the. Northwestern graduates 99% of their athletes, football players anyway. Mm-hmm. The next closest school is Wisconsin at 67%.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, I think
that's pretty amazing.
But the one thing that, with all the success they've had since 1995, the single game rushing record for Northwestern is still held by this man, 316 yards against the Wisconsin Badgers.
Why didn't you get to 320?
Well, this is not it's the truth too. I had a 40-yard run taken back called because
it got
holding.
Called back.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
I don't know what it
was. So that could have been 356.
It was
wow.
It's a catching. You know what? That's still like it's not even. It's I think it's in the top 20. I mean, there's guys.
There's crazy.
Yeah.
When you dream about football, what do you dream about?
I mean, you played in the NFL, you played in college, you played at the highest level.
You know what? I remember, it's more about, I think most athletes will tell you this, it's about what happened off the field as opposed to...
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of great.
It's the
camaraderie, the stories?
Yeah.
You playing any golf these days?
I can't even see the ball, to tell you the truth. I don't. I'm like Winston Churchill or Mark Twain. It's a good walk spoiled. Is that it? Right?
Yeah. Well, that's probably good news for the rest of us, because I remember you were a pretty good stick.
Yeah,
back in the day. Dave, I'm going to give you a last word from Mr. Adamley.
Give us an update on the Concussion Legacy Foundation and what progress there might be.
Like I was telling you and showing a picture of my friend Tom DeLeon, who played with the Browns and was an all-pro center for years and years and years. You know, what they're finding out is that at the end of the day, it's the simple things. You know, there's no cure for it. There's no medicine that you can take for it. Their research is ongoing, and it'll be ongoing for a lot of times. But the things that are most important are staying active and
physically as well, right? Not just intellectually.
No, physically. But
physically.
Well, the intellectual part is gone, so. But it's talking to people. Don't leave yourself isolated and all alone.
Yeah, but I got to say, when you and I first started talking about this a couple of years ago, you were rightfully very concerned that you might be on a quick slide and a very difficult thing. Cognitively, and I can't speak for you, maybe this is one of your best days, but you seem on it as much as you ever have been on it. I mean, don't you?
But this, if I'm that way and you see that way, then I'm doing a good job of...
you know, selling it?
No, not selling it, but just, you know.
Putting your thoughts together and getting them out of your mouth, right?
Yeah.
Because I got to tell you, I think you're inspiring to an awful lot of people. You know, being the public person that you are and coming out and talking about what you've been through and what you go through.
Yeah, and quite frankly, it's a little bit unnerving and embarrassing that you know, things that you were able to just... routinely talk about,
and well, you still got some,
and then you have to, you know, you're searching for that,
for the word,
pulling the thing out of the sky, and
some of that might be.
I have a little notepad in my, or one of those sticky things.
Yeah. Post-it notes.
Yeah, and I have one on my
mirror.
My mirror, yeah. And it says, what does it say? Oh, I said the only thing I can remember is that I can't remember.
I'm not so sure. Part of it isn't getting older, because Ennett and I can't remember much as well. So, but I'm telling you right now, keep it up. Be proud of what you're doing, because, as I said, you're an inspiration to us, and everybody loves Mike Adamley, and I hope you know that.
Yeah, I do. You're sort of like flabbergasted that's the case, and maybe that. I mean, that's kind of what we're supposed to be on this, you know, planet for, is to, you know,
pay it forward.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, God bless you, man.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks for coming
great
over.
Great to see you, Mike.
And you've still got all the great stories. It's just only a third of them can be told on the air. So
that's true.
All right.
So when you're off the air.
I know, right?
Yeah.
I know who to call.
Tell some Abe Gibran stories.
Yeah, exactly. We're back coming up here in just a moment with, I forgot what we're doing next.
We're going to play the World War II veteran.
Oh, that's right. Of course. Yeah. Well, stand by for that next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
The D-Day hero, Mr. Henry Langraer. Thank you for doing this, sir.
Thank you very much for having me.
I appreciate this. God bless you and all that you served with, for the amazing thing you did, not just on that day, but throughout the war and saving the rest of the world. As I understand it, you were a high school kid that would have graduated from high school that week had you not been in the service?
When I went into the service, I volunteered to go into the service as a paratrooper. I left my classmates at that time, which was in 1943. Mm-hmm. 50% of my class also came out that same time that they didn't graduate either. And a lot of them did not make it back home.
As I understand it, you jump out of the plane, you look below you, there's an armada of ships, there's parachutes all over in the sky, there's planes everywhere. What were you thinking?
Well, I was thinking mostly of the job that we had to do when we got there. That was pretty well drilled into us. And, of course, there's a certain amount of fear, and that, on a, you know, you really don't know what's going to happen because, you know, it's your first trip into combat.
You, as I understand it, went crashing through a greenhouse roof. Is that right?
That's right. And, right next to the church.
And the church is where your friend John Steele got caught on the church steeple. If every D-Day movie you've ever seen, you've seen this. There's a tribute to John Steele still there today. You then ran 5 miles with a group of other survivors to blow up the bridge.
Yes, but we didn't blow the bridge. My job was to blow the bridge in case we couldn't hold it. And we did hold it. The 508 Parachute Infantry had got there just a bit before we did. And they had taken chased the Germans out of there. So they had secured the bridge. And we was down there to hold that bridge because if the bridges were in hold and the Germans could get armor net down to the beaches, we'd have never made it. And that was our objective, was to take the city, the bridges. St. Mary Glees was a center point of 4 different roads that led down to the beach.
Yes, crucial.
And if they would have captured those roads with the tanks and the infantry, that we would have never succeeded there. And that was Eisenhower's plan, to make sure that those bridges and those cities were secured. I fought through the countryside, the hedgerows and that, and on June 30th, I was wounded, and I was taken prisoner, and I was put in a field hospital first, and they dressed me up as much as they could, and then they sent me to a hospital. I was in the field hospital just a day or so, and by truck they took us at night through, took a couple of nights to get to Paris, where I was in a hospital there, and Sherman doctors operated on me and took shrapnel on my back and my legs and that, and I was there about a month, and then I was sent to Salag 12A to, and that was a place, a camp where they put you in different areas, like you might work on a farm, uh-huh. Work in a factory. I was sent to a coal mine, and of course they don't give you any doctors or anything, so you're hurting pretty bad. And this old Czech said to me, and you know, I'm surprised, these people could speak English. The Germans could speak English. My SS guards, they spoke English. You could tell, but they tried to give you a command, like in German, like to say work. But anyhow, he said, if you don't work, they'll kill you. And that's true, because when I first came into that camp, which was an old factory, when the commandant lined us all up, and he gave a little speech, and he said, no one has ever escaped from this camp. And if you escape, we'll bring you back, and we'll shoot you. And that happened twice while I was there. Yes. Two white Russians, and another one I think was a Czech. But anyway, they actually did. And they take these people and put them up against the wall. They shot them. They put them in a wooden box, and then they made us all walk in front of it and see. And then after you did that, then he said, that's what happens when you escape.
Well, you had to get out of it then. You had to leave. You had to get out as soon as you possibly could. And
yes.
And when you and a friend did, I understand you were trapped in a barn. You ended up in hand-to-hand combat with a couple of Germans.
No, we got into the barn, and a Volksman had seen us on the outskirts of this town. We didn't even know it was a little village, because being in the prison camp, we didn't know the area around us. So when we escaped, we come upon this little village, and a Volkstroben policeman spotted us as we just got to the edge of the village, and he told us to halt. And we knew, if we were caught, that what was going to happen. So there was a barn just a short distance from where we were at. Well, we headed for the barn, and when we got inside, for some reason, I don't know, the good Lord was there, because I stepped behind the door that would open in, and back of that door was a 2x4 that they used to close the doors on the inside.
Yeah, sure.
And as he came in to the barn, he had his pistol drawn. He shot my friend and killed him. And I hit him across the face with the 2x4, and of course, you know what happened then. So I took his weapon and his ammunition, and I took off.
This wasn't just D-Day. You lived, you know, a month and more of your life being under threat and worse and beatings and everything every single day. What kept you going?
Well, was with me. My wife, my girlfriend at the time, she prayed constantly for me, and I know God has handed my life because of all the narrow escapes I could tell you about combat, where I should have never made it out, God was there. And I want people to know God is real. He really brought me through. And I guess I had such strong feelings about wanting to get back home, you know, and my wife and I, my girlfriend and I had made plans for when I got back. So, you know, the drive to live is pretty strong.
You came back and had a good life and have a good life. You raised kids, one of which served in uniform, grandchildren, great-grandson. It's an amazing, amazing story. And I know you're modest about it, and you want us to make sure we recognize all who served. But again, having said that, what do you want to say to people who are too young to remember D-Day or maybe don't completely, and not by any fault of their own, but don't completely understand the significance of it? What do you want us to know?
I have to say this, and I hope I don't hurt anybody's feelings, but I say to God be the glory. Through me, God saved me for a purpose, and the purpose was to bring me back, and I had a family. I was one of the very fortunate ones. War is horrible. There is no glory in war. No glory whatsoever. It's a terrible business.
And we should avoid it at all costs.
Absolutely.
I share your beliefs, and thank God that that you were saved. And through all your strength, you inspire the rest of us. You sound terrific. Do you feel good?
Oh, yes. I feel well. Well, for a man my age, I feel very good.
I wouldn't mess with you.
Well, thank you so much.
Now, the Steve Cochran Show is on the road. We're live from the Ruffled Feathers Golf Club in Lamont, Illinois. Proud to be a part of the 8th Annual Jared Payton Foundation Golf Outing. Let's say good morning to Steve Cochran and several people sitting around him wearing headphones on 720 WGN.
This is the 8th Annual Jared Payton Foundation Golf Outing at Ruffled Feathers Golf Club in Lamont, sponsored by Jewel Osco. Now, if you know me at all, you know, I don't go to golf courses and not play golf, but this is how much Jared Payton's golf outing means to us. And this answers the question, well, what are you guys doing out there? We believe in the foundation and what they do. The shotgun start for this particular outing was 8 a.m. I flinched a little, had a bit of a twitch for a couple hours, or about an hour, but now it's a 9 o'clock hour. I'm okay. And you know, we feel like you need to know more about it. So the Jared Payton Foundation Golf Outing is something you could do. We can also go to jaredpayton.org anytime during the year. But the idea that I'm on a golf course and I'm not playing golf?
I'm pretty sure the listeners weren't sitting here thinking, I wonder if Steve's going to play after or not.
Oh, sure they are.
They're not concerned about if you're playing.
I think here's the two thoughts people have today. D-Day, which is, you know, the most important thing, and will Steve play today? 2 o'clock.
Well, it's not like you. Yeah, I mean, it's not.
You
like
understand?
I do understand, but it's not like you never play golf. I mean, you play golf pretty much, if not twice a day.
Well, but you can't. But you, that's a. You know,
I know
deal,
you're right
deal.
Here. I know. I get.
Real understands. This good morning.
I mean, explain. Wait. You know, this is very disconcerting to me because I thought we had slots. We're just going out
look,
into
there's
the
other golfers.
Can we, so I explained to Kevin and Lauren, who are both going to be here, and they expect to play golf with you. We're not going right out at 10 o'clock? No? But it's radio. You can't just.
I can when I'm weeping.
Yeah. you can't just go no with your head. You have to tell me.
I don't know. We got to figure it all out. Hey, happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you.
Today is Rokan's birthday. Ready? Happy birthday to you.
Oh, no, please don't do this.
Happy birthday to you.
Oh, dear God.
I'm sorry the rest of the show can't sing a note. Happy birthday to you.
Ciao, ciao, ciao.
And you smell like one, too.
What? Didn't see that coming. Happy birthday, buddy.
Thank you. Thank you. Let's not do that again.
And I'm not going down this road because it's not a road that either one of us want to talk about. But I wanted to say your tribute to your dad.
Oh, thanks.
And losing your dad is very difficult, and just condolences.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Now, as we press forward, there's a couple things we need to accomplish here. Jerry Azuma is going to be in soon.
He's going to call in from the course.
Yes, he's on a golf course now. Is there anything that
can
has
you
gone
ask?
Down between you and Jerry Azuma?
No, I love Zuma.
Wait a minute, can I ask? You're doing a show with me. You're in.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Can we ask him to come off the course and we'll take his slot at 10 o'clock?
I like that move.
You like that move? Like, you have to come in, explain that, you know, that at 10 o'clock they have to do a show.
What if we green room him?
Let's trick people into coming off the course so we can get on.
We green room him and say, listen, you're going to be on soon. We lock the door.
This is a great event.
It is.
It is one of my favorite of the year. And JP is like an eternal youngster, right? Isn't he like always just
He's closer to 40 than 30 and he still acts like he's two.
Right. Yeah, he just bounces around. Charms. He's out there right now with a cart and, you know, going to all the foursomes and playing with them. He's just,
if you get a chance to support anything the Jared Payton Foundation does, I hope you will.
Yeah.
By the way, Kevin Powell, is it?
Yes.
Is outside swinging a golf club like he doesn't know he's supposed to be on the air with us right now. He's standing outside the window warming up.
He's got priorities.
What happened to him since he started working for you? He's completely irresponsible.
I don't know. Hey, Kevin!
That's what I'm looking for.
Come here.
It's outrageous.
Let's see what just happened right there.
What are you doing?
You're supposed to be on. Of course you're supposed to be on.
No one told me that.
No one told. Listen to him. Ma! Was I supposed to be on the radio?
Just outrageous.
I'm sorry. I didn't know I was invited.
I remember it used to be responsible.
I was getting a few accents, Steve.
You're doing the afternoon show and you're not paying attention. How are you, Ken?
I'm great. Good to see you guys.
Now we have to ask you a Cubs question.
Okay.
Craig Kimbrell is the new reliever for the Chicago Cubs, as Dave Bennett's been reporting all morning.
Mm-hmm.
Is he still good?
I think so. I mean, John Lester referred to him as a future Hall of Famer. He's the best option out there for anybody looking for a closer, and that's exactly what they need. He can strike a bunch of guys out, and they don't really have any power arms in the back end of their bullpen. A real closer, especially with Brandon Morrow out. Morrow looks like he might not even play this year with all sorts of injuries he's had. So I like it. It was the best option available, and the Cubs went and did it.
Especially when it sounds like he's only going to be asked to pitch in the ninth inning. So there won't be... And this is it. He's the guy.
I'll tell you right now. Look,
Pedro Strop is. What is he going to do now?
Well, he'll be the setup guy.
He's going to be the pouting guy in the eighth inning with a crooked hat.
No, I mean he was very positive about it.
I can ask a question about Pedro Strop's hat. Did he move the C so when the bill is crooked, the C is still in front?
You would hope.
Because that looks like he did that, but I can't tell.
Yeah, he sort of got a Bill Left thing going about him. He thinks he's eternally cute in a hat. Now, here's the thing.
By the way, nice hat.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate it. Here's the thing, and I think you'd agree with me on this because you're a father as well. Father's Day's coming up, and don't be the last person to get Roe and I presents. But as a father listening now, I think the biggest favor you can do for your kid is just go, what are you doing with the homework? Get outside. Throw the baseball as much as you can, especially if they're left-handed. There's no better job in baseball than a left-handed long reliever, but not far down the road from that is anybody in the bullpen. You're only going to work occasionally, and you're going to make a $20 million or more a year. It's a pretty good gig.
Yes. I say what you do is you take if they're right-handed, you take their hand and you just tape it.
Tape it to them.
Tape it to them so that they can't actually throw with it, and then until they're like six or seven.
Well, you were a big proponent of bounding breasts as well, weren't you?
You know what? I was, but then I saw Handmaid's Tale, and it was very. I feel badly about my earlier positions.
Right, that's exactly right. Kev. Kevin, I know you're busy. Can you hang around a second?
I can hang around. Okay, yeah, okay. Thanks for having me.
You know, we also have a third member of our team coming. Now, Anna was going to come, but she had that thing.
She had a thing today?
She had that thing.
Classic thing.
So she couldn't make it. But Lauren Lapka's here as well. So she's going to be a part of this as well.
Lauren, you might as well come in and join the Ro-Palooza promotion for that we're doing here coming up.
For the afternoon show, which starts today actually on time at 3 o'clock and ends on time at 7.
And I can't say this, but between 3:30 and 4, you're going to give out the last clue for the last qualifier. For the Steve Cochran European vacation.
Can I just tell you something really funny about that? Is that they won't even tell me what time that's at because they're afraid I'm going to blurt it out. They've kept this entire thing a secret from me.
Well, it's probably a good call.
I didn't even know that the Hawks were going to play in Prague. I had no idea. I'm reading this thing, Pucks and Prague, and I'm like, I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, you've been busy.
It's like in code.
You've been busy.
Ruffled Feathers Golf Club in Lamont, proud to be a part of the 8th Annual Jared Payton Foundation Golf Outing. Live right now on 720 WGN.
And now we begin interrupting golfers in the middle of the golf course. Jerry Azuma, Chicago Bears legend, is on the golf course now. Is he on the phone with us? Jerry!
What's up, guys?
There you are. What hole are you on?
That is amazing.
What hole are you on?
We are on 7.
Yeah? And so that means you've played, what,
and
2 or 3 so far?
Here. I mean, it's such a beautiful day. There might snow tomorrow.
Yeah, well, it's nice of you to rub it in because Ro Khan and I are sitting here while you're out there. Dave Ennett, we're all working while you're out playing golf.
I mean, it is absolutely beautiful out here.
Oh, we just stop it.
Clean, crisp air.
What are you doing?
The sun is perfect.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. The drinks are fantastic. We're having a great time out here. You need to hurry up, wrap this thing up, and get out here.
I feel like a wide receiver holding up one step to try to catch the ball with you bearing down right now. That's how I feel about it.
It just is that meme.
Yes, I don't like it.
I know you've known Jared Payton for a long time, but this is a big deal, and we raise a lot of money for it. So thank you for being involved.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah. So anything you want to say about
it? I mean, the stuff that Jared Payton's been doing over the years has been tremendous. Like you said, I've been a good friend of his for almost 20 years now. And all the community work that he's doing in the greater Chicago area and things like that have just been tremendous. So I'm just happy to be a part of it.
Jerry, you excited about the weekend, the 100th anniversary celebration for the Bears and all that goes with that?
I really am. I'm looking forward to seeing several guys that I play football with. There's a lot of us that keep in close contact, but there's some guys that I haven't seen in a while, and I'm really eager to see them. So it's going to be a great weekend celebrating, the 100 years of the NFL, and the Bears have been, right there every step of the way. So it's going to be a really good and fun time.
Who are some of the guys that you haven't seen that you're looking forward to seeing?
Mike Brown. I haven't seen him in a little bit, so I'm looking forward to seeing him and chopping it up with him. There's a lot of guys that are from the area that I'm close friends with, so they're easy. Well, but
listen, I know you got a shot to hit.
My top guys that I want to see.
Jerry Zuma, I know you have a shot to hit here any second, so we'll let you do that. But the question around the table, obviously, is what are you wearing, being the fashion plate that you wear?
Well, I'm going to be slick at all times. So right now I'm wearing like a burgundy shirt. Polo, of course, and gray slacks, some white shoes. So I'm looking real official and professional out here.
Yeah, you do look professional. It's not like a golf pro. Good God, man! Yeah, buy a pair of shorts.
It's all about the look, not necessarily about the game. It's about the look.
All right, go hack it up. Thanks for coming on.
All right, thank you.
There you go, Jerry Azuma making divots with all the others that are out there today.
I'd like to take bets on who he doesn't want to see at the Bears reunion.
Would have been a good question.
Yeah. Because I'm sure there's a few of those guys too.
Hey Jerry, who are the old Bears do you really hate and you don't think should be invited? Who was a real jerk to you?
Everyone's got a list.
Now the Steve Cochran Show is on the road. We're live from the Ruffled Feathers Golf Club in Lamont, Illinois. Proud to be a part of the 8th annual Jared Payton Foundation Golf Outing. Now your host, Spalding Smales on 720 WGN.
That's me. You're killing me, Smales. It's 9:41. The Steve Cochran Show continues. It's rare when you get a chance to really stop down and recognize history in the way we can today. But today on the 75th anniversary of D-Day, I couldn't be more pleased to welcome to the show Virginia, a listener from Palos Park. Good morning, Virginia.
Good morning to you, and happy D-Day. Happy 75th.
Thank you for coming on. Tell me about your husband.
Well, first of all, he's a friend. I lost my husband a few years ago. He was a World War II veteran, too. But this is my friend Leslie Harris. He will be 97 in August, and he was 101st Airborne, jumped also in the water at 1:30 in the morning on D-Day. So,
he was turning 97?
And he also ended up back at the Battle of the Bulge. He has the French Medal of Honor, in fact.
So he was at D-Day and the Battle of the Bulge.
Right.
So, that's unbelievable. I mean,
he made like 22 jumps.
Yeah, but
would you like to talk to him?
Oh, fantastic. Absolutely.
Okay, hold on a minute. This is Steve.
Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning to you. And Ro Khan is with us as well. It is an honor to speak with you today.
Oh, I appreciate that.
It's rare when you come across someone, an American hero, who could claim they were a part of one great battle, you being a part of D-Day and the Battle of the Bulge. It's goosebump stuff. Thank you very much for all you've done.
I think that's wonderful.
Well, that's nice.
Are you happy with the way that the United States has begun, the American people have sort of reattached themselves to the remembrance of World War II and D-Day?
Yes, sir.
So you feel good about being remembered?
For a while there, I didn't think we were ever going to be married. But it's been a wonderful... Wonderful thing.
Sure, I understand. And I don't want to keep you long because I know you've got better things to do today than talk to Ro and me. but I just want you to understand how much we appreciate the service you gave to this country and that we understand the reason we have the great benefits we have to live in this country today are because of what you and those other young men and great young women did on that day and in those years of the war. So again, sir, thank you and God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
Love that. Pardon me while I get a little choked up. That's the real deal. That is that's a real American hero. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you, sir.
And look. What do you say? There's nothing to add to that, right?
No.
So, I assume you're going to continue this discussion this afternoon.
A little bit, yeah. I mean, obviously, this is we're losing World War II veterans at a at such an escalating pace.
Hundreds
now.
A day.
Yeah, and my dad was a World War II veteran, and it's. It's one of those moments where we're only a few years away from not having anyone left. And
well, that's why you and I love Honor Flight so much, because Honor Flight is an opportunity for these great vets to fly to Washington in a day trip turnaround where they get to see the memorial that was built for them.
Yeah.
And it's just incredibly moving. And, they're moving on as well to do the Korean War vets and eventually Vietnam as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I keep harping on this, but don't assume your kids, your grandkids, don't assume they understand how important this day is. You know, take a second to talk to them about it.
Right, right. So. And it's interesting today you're hearing all these stories about Europe and the way that the Europeans look at D-Day is different than the way the Americans look at D-Day. But I'm going to tell you, if the Americans, British, and Canadians had not landed at that moment,
right.
At that time, it would have been a totally different situation.
Yeah, yeah, and we wouldn't be where we are. So, thank you to everybody that continues to serve and the sacrifices the spouses and families make at home as well. Broadcasting live from the 8th Annual Jared Payton Foundation Golf Outing at Ruffled Feathers Golf Club in Lamont, sponsored by Jewel Esco. We just saw something interesting. Our friend Connie Payton's here, and Jared walked in from the golf course, and she looked at him like, "You wore that?" As only a mother could. Connie, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. It's nice to be here and to see so many of you.
Well, it's great to see you as always. And your lovely and talented son and grandson, a good-looking couple here. we're on the radio earlier talking about it, the foundation. And what do you think about what your boy's done with this work?
Oh, my goodness. I couldn't be more proud of Jarrett, but I'm not surprised. You know, he's always been this type of person, honestly. I said each time he ever got in trouble as a little kid, it was for helping someone who needed it, whether it was somebody with special needs or some kid who didn't have what they needed for school. He was always that kid,
sure.
that chipped in to help. So I'm not surprised.
And Jarrett did the right thing earlier when he recognized the fact that his wife really is the brains of the operation.
That is true. I have a wonderful daughter-in-law, honestly. So she truly is the backbone behind all of this.
Jarrett, how's it going out there?
I'm not hitting it all, but my son is. He's hitting them straight.
Dude,
Jaden is doing his thing. So everybody seems like they're having a great time. It's a beautiful day out, and I have family and friends. And like I said earlier, it's great to have my WGN radio family and some TV family here. And I think that's what it's all about.
Foundation work continues year-round, so we want people to continue to check back in at your website and help any way they can, right?
JarrettPayton.org. Please just see how you can get involved in some of the things that we're doing and hopefully some of the things that we're expanding to do hopefully in the future as well.
You better get him back out there. Your son's looking very...
Jaden does not want to be in here.
Jaden's looking like, why aren't we playing golf, Dad? Hello.
All right, I'll go with you, man.
No, he wants to be here by his grandma, right?
Well, there is that.
He loves his Gigi.
He loves Gigi, but he's got to play a little golf. Connie, what are you up to these days?
Boy, we're still doing our foundation work, too. We still have the Walter County Payton Foundation and working with the Department of Children and Family Services. So and being a Gigi. I mean, I think that's even more important.
Well, it's vitally important. You know, I joined the club about 3 years ago with another one on the way. There's nothing better.
Oh, I'm telling you, I didn't think I believed it when my friends used to say it. And honestly, I told my grandson one time, if you can open my heart and see how much I love you, you'll probably be afraid. You know,
right?
So you think you love your kids, but it's nothing like the love
it's
of
magical.
A grandkid.
It really is magical.
Connie, can I bring you to my daughter and son-in-law, and have a conversation with them? I'm trying to get that moving along. I'm like, I break into their house, I steal things, you know, that might, you know, get in the way of that.
Right, I understand.
You know, doing whatever, you know, sugar pills, what, you know, Tic Tacs. I'm working the whole thing now.
It's always awkward when you tell your daughter, listen, biology, let me show you the film.
Yeah. You know, there's a time where you're worried that they're having sex, and there's a time you're worried they're not having sex.
Well, you know what? I don't think it's as easy for them being the parents.
Oh, that's
wonderful about the
grandparents. But was it easy for us when we were their parents? No.
It wasn't. And that's sometimes payback is really hard.
Yeah, honestly. It's funny, though, because Sandberg always gives me a hard time because I talk about how much I love being a dad. And I did love every minute of it, and I've forgotten about the parts I didn't love so much. but the magic of being a grandparent is you get all the fun.
Exactly.
Right? All the fun, all the love. You know, occasionally there might be a little crying, but then Abigail looks at me and goes, seriously, man up, you're a grown man. It's nothing but great. So I couldn't be more on the same page with you.
Oh, I know. They're wonderful. I truly, truly enjoy it. You know, sometimes I forget how old I really am when I get around them, you know?
Oh, stop it.
They
you
bring
look
fabulous. Out the best in me.
Dave, say hi to Connie.
Connie, what do you think Walter would say about all what your kids have done, both of them, not just Jared, obviously, with this and their success? And what would he make of all of this with the golf outing?
You know, he would be truly proud of both Jared and Brittany, because this is who Walter was, too. You know, when we hear the stories, when people share stories, it's all about not so much Walter as a football player, but Walter as a person, and mm-hmm. what he did, you know, to help other people and give back, and how he just allowed people into his space. I know guys today, I mean, they're so funny, and I don't know. I don't understand them, but he would be truly proud of what Jared is doing.
Did you know you were married to the greatest Chicago Bear of all time, or did you have to wait for the list?
I had to wait. As a matter of fact, I haven't seen the list. I just keep hearing about
the list. Spoiler alert, Steve. Yeah, exactly. We were going to wait
first
till after
Jeopardy
the outing to tell her.
Missed.
Oh, my God.
It's been a rough week.
Yeah. Really? Really?
100th anniversary of the Bears, and for those of you who might have missed it, Walter Payton, the greatest Bear of all time, comes in at number one.
I would say greatest football player of all time.
It's hard to argue. It really is. Yeah. Do you remember what his laundry must have smelled like when he came back from one of those hill runs? Couldn't have been good.
It wasn't, but, you know, I didn't mind. But, you know, when I think about all of this, you know, Walter was just Walter to us. You know, he kind of worked on our nerves and... You know, he was just my husband and the kid's father, so we didn't even look at it this way, you know, and to look at it all now, even for me, I think it's all more meaningful now than when he played. I really didn't get it, you know, I didn't understand it.
Well, you know, in real time, it's hard to do. It takes a little perspective, and
exactly.
It takes living through the years. Do you think he'd appreciate something like being ranked number one, or would he think, you know, it's a team thing? Because to me, you tell me if I'm wrong, because you would know. But Walter seemed to really enjoy the fact that his work was recognized.
He did. He worked hard for it.
Right.
You know, he truly did. He set goals, and he knew what he wanted, and he wanted 100 yards every game, and he wanted, you know, to have over 1,000 yards at the end of the season, and, you know, it was his goal to try to make the Pro Bowl. So he did all of that, and, he pushed himself. He worked hard, and I don't think anybody worked out as hard as he did,
mm-hmm.
and that was from even college. I mean, he truly pushed himself beyond a point that most people wouldn't for working out. So I think he would still be humbled by it, but...
pretty special.
Yeah.
But at a point, too, in the NFL where that was not as common as it is now. I mean, everybody's a gym rat now. It's a totally different world in all of sports.
Well, so he had to invent a hill.
Right. He found the one hill in Arlington Heights.
One hill in Illinois.
Up and down it. Yeah. It was like he found the height in Arlington Heights
right.
is what he did.
Right.
And I'll never forget that Channel 2. I was just talking to JP about it last week. That Channel 2 story that they did about him when they were showing him running up and down the hill, and then he would come home and play his drums. And JP says that drum set is still around.
We have two, and we don't know what to do with them. As a matter of fact, I'm tired of paying storage fees for all of this stuff.
I want to take the drum set off their.
How about
their,
that?
Yeah.
Hey, honestly, I would have no problems. My kids know I don't attach to stuff too much like that. So honestly, my thing is, guys, decide to do what you want to do with it. We've got a storage bin full of trophies.
Can you see that? You and I.
You want some drums?
We'd be like the Earth, Wind & Fire, two drummers, just kind of doing that thing. Doobie Brothers.
No, I'm thinking 7 o'clock tonight, you and I racing in cars from separate parts of Chicago. Whoever gets to Connie's house first gets a drum.
They're in the cases and everything.
In the cases? They're in the cases?
Honestly.
How about true. That?
I don't know how they look inside, but they're there, and hey, they're yours if you want. I don't have an issue.
I have this recollection of Walter either on a golf course or holding a golf club, but I don't remember him being much of a golfer because, I mean, was the game wasn't really fast enough for him, was it?
You know what? He came out, and I think he just, like, seeing how far he can hit the ball.
Yeah.
I don't know how straight it went or how good of a golfer he was, but it was about the how far he can hit the ball.
Well, we've also talked to the guys. One of the great things about playing golf in events like this is just grinding on your buddies. And who is better at that than Walter?
Oh my goodness. I can only imagine the things he would have been doing to people. Really.
Yeah, I've been a victim of a few of those, so I do know. Yeah.
Pulling down of the pants and all kinds of things.
Sure.
Yeah.
Just like a staff meeting at WGN.
That was his move. You know, Connie, maybe you can explain that to me, but that was his move. He would pants people.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. All the time. Yeah. Yes, yes. But it never happened to him. But
I saw him pants Johnny Morris once, and it was really, you know, and Johnny was a little, you know, Johnny couldn't chase him at that point. Bum knee. It was a very, very bad deal.
It's the only way you could ever get Ditka to smile when Walter was around.
Oh, when I think of the things that he did and the people who knew him in the locker room and all of the crazy things he did and got away with it, though.
Well, because he's number one. I think that's why.
You know what's funny is, did you ever worry about that? Did you ever think, you have got to stop? This is a good job.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And I see Mike Adamley standing over there, and he probably remember when we had the dog Sweetness. And Sweetness was a crazy dog. I mean, he was just wild. It was this big giant schnauzer. And Walter brought him to Lake Forest when we were the team, and he bit by Parsons on the behind.
Yeah,
and he thought that was the funniest thing. And it's like, really?
Well, it is great seeing you, and I know how proud you are of Jarrett and the family, and say hi to Brittany as well for us.
I sure will.
And you look fabulous, and enjoy those Gigi days, too.
Thank you. I am. Thank all of you. Thank you for being so supportive.
Of course. Always. We'll wrap it up with Ro in just a second here. It's Rokon's birthday, Connie.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Oh, I guess we're going to wrap it up right now.
All right. Oh.
We're wrapping it up.
Please don't sing again.
What are you doing for
JarrettPayton.org is the foundation website.
Yes, so JarrettPayton.org.
I'm here for my birthday.
Did I hear we're singing again?
This is the big one.
What are you doing after the show tonight?
I'm here for my birthday.
All right, I'm going to be at Connie's picking up drums, dude. I'm just telling you right now. Thank you for hanging around. I appreciate that. And it's D-Day, so listen to Ro this afternoon, because I know I have some thoughts and some things to say about it that you're going to need to hear. Thanks to everybody that was out here. I think I've done all the credits, haven't I?
Mm-hmm.
So we'll send it back to the studio, and Bill and Wendy will join you in just a moment. The Steve Cochran Show returned.
I'm serious.
The Steve Cochran Show returns, or one of those things, tomorrow. Thank you, Adam, and thank you, everybody that was out here today with us on 720 WGN.